Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this presentation, I am going to talk about three Quranic surahs, Surah Hajj, Surah Mu'minun, and Surah An-Nur. As you might recall, we are discussing the third group of the Quranic surahs, which began with Surah Yunus, and we have already talked in the last two presentations about the 12 Meccan surahs of this group. We are now going to talk about two of the remaining Meccan surahs, which completes the 14 Meccan surahs of this group, and it would be followed towards the end by the mention of the one remaining surah, which is a Madaran surah, which is Surah An-Nur. As I have mentioned time and again, that all the seven Quranic groups are divided into two parts. There is this Meccan part of it, and there is a Madinan part of it. So that in this particular group, the third group of the surahs comprising of the Meccan and Madinan division, the 14 surahs of the first this third group are Meccan, and the last is the Madinan surah. The first of these three surahs that I'm going to present is Surah Hajj. The second is Surah Mu'minun, and the third is Surah An-Nur. If you look at these three surahs from the point of view of the progression of the understanding and the message towards the climax where these surahs reach, we would find, as I mentioned in the earlier presentations, that the Quranic message primarily focuses on the fact that the Almighty's messengers always come to dominate ultimately. They do go through various phases of the presentation of their messages, but ultimately they culminate towards the climax when the messenger and his companions are given the privilege, the opportunity to prevail, and their enemies and their ideology, it is destroyed and it annihilates. So that what we find is that in Surah Hajj, the Almighty is talking about in particular the various different forms and worships of Hajj, which really was the presentation of the understanding that while the house of Allah and the surroundings of it, which are the area, the region where the all-important worship of Hajj is performed, is at the moment in the hands and under the power of the people of Quraysh, who are the polytheists. But the fact of the matter is that this situation is very soon going to end, and the believers are going to dominate over this entire territory, enabling them to perform the rituals of Hajj exactly in accordance with the expectations of the principles of monotheism, Tawheed. This surah is followed by Surah Mu'minun, which again gives a very clear tiding, good news, that the moment, the moment, Mu'minun, the believers are going to prevail. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. That is how this surah starts, which is actually a good news of not just the success of the believers in the hereafter, but also as a prelude to that success, it also gives good indication, good news, that they are going to succeed in this worldly life as well. However, the entire mention of the fact that the message of the messengers is going to prevail comes to its ultimate climax in Surah An-Nur, which is the Madinan surah, wherein the Almighty mentions in verse 55 of this surah that the believers who are at the moment going through the period of trial, wherein they are being tested by the various different designs of the enemies who are trying to torture and persecute them, they are ultimately going to prevail And God Almighty is going to provide them with the opportunity to actually establish their political power, and they're going to establish God's rule in times to come, which are not very far off. So what the Almighty has always promised, that the message of the messengers is going to prevail, that message, that understanding and promise has been mentioned in this group as well. And the final surah of the group, that is Surah Nur, clearly mentions the promise of the Almighty that the companions, the believers who have gone through the various phases of trial or for their faith, will ultimately be provided with the opportunity which God Almighty promises them. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That is, the Almighty promises those people who believe and do good deeds that He is going to provide them with the opportunity to dominate and politically establish the rule of God Almighty's law, whereby they are going to live there in peace and nobody is going to challenge them for the God's law that they are implementing, the prayer that they are establishing, the system of zakat that they are introducing. It is going to enable them to dominate this message and this ideology which has come to them from God. Now, after having mentioned these three surahs in this sequence, which is actually the sequence of the manner this message is going to dominate over all other messages, let us look at some of the more prominent mentions in the three respective surahs. Surah Hajj, the first of these three surahs, starts with a very effective mention of the conditions and circumstances that would prevail on the Day of Judgment, a day which is going to happen in a manner that every human being is going to forget about all the dear things that it really had always been attached to in the worldly life. But the day is going to be so scary. It's going to be threatening to all humans' peace and tranquility that they would all be focused towards only one point, and that is the point of accountability. So that after having mentioned this particular understanding, the Quran goes on to talk about the miraculous birth of the humans, to question as to why people doubt the Almighty's ability to create humans once again, when they know that the manner that they were created in the first place was so miraculous, so unthinkable for anyone to be able to come up with. If God has enabled humans to be created in this life in a manner which is not possible for anyone to imagine, He is fully capable of enabling humans to be created once again, especially when their recreation is something which is important to ensure that God's justice prevails and that all the wrongs and all the unfair deeds that were performed by humans would be made accountable, they would be held accountable for them. This particular surah also goes on to condemn the acts of polytheism which were being committed by the people of Mecca and its surroundings, so as to clarify at the final stages of the culmination of the prophetic mission that what is happening is wrong, has not been condoned by the Almighty through any of His books, is something which human nature also abhors, and therefore to ascribe partners to God is something which is silly, which human understanding and human knowledge as well as intellect does not allow, does not accept, and therefore whoever is doing it in the name of religion of God is doing it as a very serious crime for which all those who are involved in it are going to be held accountable to the Almighty. Finally, this surah talks about the fact that the Almighty has arranged for the message of God to be delivered to the humanity in a way that the messenger of God has been chosen to be a witness before the companions for whom this message was meant, so that the prophet, the messenger of Allah, he is the one who is the shaheed, the witness over the people for whom the message was meant to be delivered directly. And the Almighty's scheme is that those people who were the immediate recipients of that message, they should then be the witnesses before the entire mankind. So the message of God is to be delivered through a scheme wherein first a generation was chosen by the Almighty to receive the message from the messenger of God, and after the demise of that of the messenger, this message was expected to be spread across by the companions to the entire mankind as much as was possible. Thus ends Surah Hajj, paving the way for Surah Mominun to begin, and it begins by declaring this good news for the believers by the Almighty, that the believers are going to ultimately prevail. And this success of the believers is not just meant for the hereafter. Most certainly, the success of the hereafter is the most important success. It is the success of the hereafter which really matters. But in order for the human beings to realize that the hereafter is going to take place, and that the believers, the people who do good deeds, they are ultimately going to succeed in the hereafter, the Almighty has arranged from time to time through his messengers the experience of believers prevailing and dominating and succeeding in this worldly life, to also be made to be witnessed by the entire mankind. And this mention of the statement is followed by the attributes of the believers, which the Almighty has mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun, whereby they are the people who are the ones who pray regularly. They are the people who stay away from obscenity. They are the ones who always abide by their covenants. And if they are entrusted with any responsibility or any wealth or property, they live up to it and preserve it to the best of their abilities. Likewise, the believers are the ones who always make sure that not only that their prayers are full of spirit, that they also protect their prayers from all kinds of threats. These are the attributes which have been clearly mentioned of the believers, and such believers have been promised salvation in the hereafter and success in this worldly life, especially those who are the immediate companions of the messengers. The Quran thereafter talks about the same miraculous birth of a human child, to emphasize upon the readers the fact that if God is promising a life hereafter to take place, it is an understanding and a promise which is not without its strong supportive arguments. And the best argument that can be presented to the reader to believe that life hereafter is very much a possibility is the fact that people are born miraculously in the first place. If they are born in such an unbelievable fashion to begin with, which no ordinary being can ever possibly think that he can do it, but this miracle is happening every day on a very large scale, how could it ever be imagined that the same Creator, God Almighty, would not ultimately be able to recreate humans after they are dead, especially when their recreation is something which is important to come by. Later on in the surah, we find that the manner the messengers of God have been delivering their messages to their respective nations, and the details of those stories have been mentioned in the Quran over and over again. In this particular surah, what we find is that the general understanding of that message has been given and explained without mentioning any particular messenger or prophet, so that the same understanding which we have been reading in the earlier surahs through the description of the stories of the prophets and messengers, the same theme has been emphasized in a different manner, in a way that the message of the messengers has been generalized. The end of this surah, Al-Mu'minun, comes with the description of a person whose woes have been described when on the day of judgment he is going to realize that he has lost everything in the trial of the worldly life, because he thought that the worldly life was the only place for one to survive and enjoy life. This kind of frustration and immense feeling of loss and sorrow is something which would be the fate of everybody who did not consider the worldly life as a trial, which is going to ultimately give way to another life, which is going to be the ultimate life of success and failure. These two surahs then are paving the way for the Madanan surah An-Nur to describe, as I said, the ultimate promise of the Almighty, that the believers would indeed get the privilege of succeeding in this life as well, when God Almighty would enable them to have a kingdom, which is going to be the kingdom of God, which is going to be the possibility for the believers to establish the rule of Islam and the rule of the divine revelation. And this is exactly what happened in the case of Khilafat-e Rashida, the rule of law of Islam established by the companions of the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, which of course in itself is an indication of the fact that God's promise came true most clearly and exactly the way it was promised in Surah An-Nur. However, quite apart from this very important verse, verse 55, which talks about the believers taking over as the administrators of a vast territory where the rule of Islamic law would be established, there are a number of other important messages which are contained in this surah, An-Nur. For instance, the first 10 verses of this surah are actually talking about the crime of fornication and adultery, the way it needs to be dealt with, so that the Almighty has talked about a very clear punishment for all men and women who are found guilty of committing fornication and adultery. The word in Arabic is zina. The Quran also mentions that all chaste men and women should be saved from being accused of committing zina if their crime is not properly proved through bringing four witnesses, so that all those who accuse chaste men and women of zina should themselves be punished by being inflicted 80 lashes. The Quran also talks about the possibility when a husband accuses his wife of committing zina, and also talks about the way and manner which a wife can adopt to be spared from getting punished after the husband has accused her. The verses 11 to 26 are talking about a particular incident that took place during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein one of his wives was accused of committing an act of obscenity, which of course came ultimately to be denied by the Almighty himself as something that never happened. However, because there were some hypocrites who were bent upon ensuring that the household of the prophet should be scandalized. And this ultimately involved many of the otherwise well-meaning believers in that process, wherein people started talking negatively about the lady. And ultimately, the Almighty declared that whatever people were saying against her was all incorrect, and that this whole episode was shameful, because believers were expected to never doubt the intentions and the good behavior of fellow believers. Verses 27 to 31 are talking about the rule of conduct, the etiquette, which believing men and believing women should observe while they interact with each other. The Almighty clarifies in these verses that when believing men and women who are not relatives, close relatives to each other, they come into contact with each other in the marketplace, is in a business environment, in educational institutions, or elsewhere, they both should be particular about their gaze. They should keep their gaze clean, and they should be dressed properly. Their intentions and thought process should be clean. Women have been asked in addition that they should cover their chests properly, and that if they have adorned themselves, beautified themselves, then except for their faces, hands, and feet, they should cover all other parts of their body which have been beautified. Verses 58 to 61 are actually responding to some of the questions which arose as a consequence of this law of interaction between men and women, which was mentioned in verses 27 and 31. Verses 32 and 33 are talking about the importance of all humans, all people getting married, so as to stay away from zina and to lead a life of chastity. Verse 33 also talks about the important law of mukatibat, whereby all slaves and slave girls were given this all-important opportunity to get emancipated and freed on just getting a contract written between them and their masters, whereby they would be bound to make a payment for getting themselves freed, and that payment would be made either in lump sum or installments, and the believers were encouraged to help their brothers and sisters who were slaves or slave girls to be emancipated through this process of contract, which in other words means that Islam was never in favor of promoting slavery. It gradually paved the way for slaves and slave girls to be freed and emancipated. And this particular verse, that is verse 33, is the ultimate nail in the coffin of slavery that the Quran had suggested. Then we find Ayah Noor in verse 35, which is the important verse, describes through a beautiful example how a believer has God's understanding and his faith in his heart. And it is described in a manner that we come to learn about the fact that our nature is able to get closer to God through his message if it is properly preserved. It talks about later, in the later verses, the understanding of both belief and unbelief through different examples to show that on the one hand, belief is a light. On the other hand, unbelief and disbelief are darknesses of various different degrees. This particular surah is also very prominent in describing and requiring from all believers obedience to the Messenger of God, obedience to the Prophet. The idea is very clear that the Messenger of God is the one who is the sole representative of God Almighty on this earth. And therefore, if he is there, then every believer has a duty to make sure that his injunctions and his dictates are adhered to and followed. Because if that is not going to be done, it would indicate that the person who is being disobedient to the Prophet is actually not a believer. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand the entire message of Quran properly, and may He enable us to follow it as best as we can.